Morning, ZKF listening.
K8RUH, is that you, Anthony? W8RCY, Donald?
Yes, it is, Donald. How are you doing this morning?
And good morning to Dakota, too, as well. I just have a quick comment for you, Anthony, and then I'm going to back out of here and let you guys chat. The correction on the information that I gave you yesterday about the 696 construction, it is from Losser eastbound to I-75, and that's what's going to take 2 years. The part between 75 and DeQuinder will be done in 2027. After the eastbound side is done on the 696 freeway. So that's the update I have. And again, it starts Saturday. They start shutting it down on the eastbound side. Again, from Losser to I-75. That's all I have to add right now, and I'll let you guys chat.
Thanks, Donald. That'll be a big help to not have that section east of 75 closed. Have a good day.
It usually doesn't get me anywhere, but when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong, and I'll do what I can to correct it, or if I make a mistake, I do what I can to correct it. So, yeah, I gave you some misinformation, and I didn't really know what was going on between 75 and DeQuinder. So that's off until 2027. And it's not a teardown. It's just going to be a patching and, you know, section-by-section replacement of, you know, looking like those rectangular squares. Okay, I'm out of here. Good morning to you both. Have a great day. I am going back to bed. I was up at 4 this morning, and I'm just about ready to close my eyes and fall asleep. So, adios, W8RCY.
Good morning, Dakota.
Good morning and good night, Donald. Good morning, Anthony. How you doing, man? I hope your traffic's not as bad as mine. I don't know what people drank this morning, but 53 has been like 20 miles an hour bumper to bumper.
So far, so good, but I'm just leaving the neighborhood. It looks like regular traffic. Hopefully I don't hit anything big. You know, the weather changed, Dakota. It's warm out and the road is wet, so everybody's got to do something silly.
Isn't that amazing how something so simple that should improve driving conditions makes everyone forget how to drive? Oh, there's an accident that's going to add 7 minutes, apparently, and I'm only 3 miles away from my exit. Solid. Have you gotten that random wire up in the area for your 891?
No. It's been cold, and then I was gone for a week, and now I'm playing catch-up with life. And then it's sounding like I'm going to have to go somewhere for a few days next week for work. So maybe I think it's supposed to get cold this weekend, but we'll see what I can do. I really do want to get it up and just start playing around and listening, even if 10 is not open. I want to be able to listen, and I think that'll inspire me to spend some time studying. Because let me tell you, I haven't done any of that lately.
I was going to say, if you don't want to put it up, I have a proposition.
Oh boy, what do you got for me there, buddy?
I'd be willing to give you all of my fantastic equipment for that 901.
Well, unfortunately, I think I would be getting the poor end of that deal because I have, that's like worth its weight in rocks, I think, at this unfortunately. I have 100% intention of putting it up once the weather breaks, so I don't think I'm going to take you up on that one.
It is pretty funny how Meshtastic, like, literally died.
Well, I think everybody got the infrastructure together, and, you know, it'll just take another group of people to be inspired, and it'll get more robust in Metro Detroit, keep going, and then one day we'll all have equipment and it'll be functioning. That's the way I'm looking at it right now.
That's the way. Maybe someday. Go ahead, Sean.
Well, I know I'm still waiting on those units I can remote and rooftop. That'll probably revigorate the conversation for a little bit anyhow. I don't know what we can expect out of it, but we'll see. Really the thing's designed just to be up and doing its thing. But yeah, it's no one really expected it to really amount to a whole lot. So that's why people say, should I give them? I'm like, eh, I don't know, man. Are you interested in the technology and tinkering with it? But, yeah, I think, like Anthony says, it'll reburst as things start to pop up and connections start to be made.
Yeah, you know, I know, Dakota, you didn't have any of yours on MQTT. I have all of mine on MQTT for specific channels, and the Michigan channel, there's people on that sucker all the time. If I have a node connected to my phone, I get traffic on that Michigan channel probably 3 days, 4 days a week, and it's a bunch of guys in Grand Rapids that are actively using it to just chat and rib each other and whatever. So I think there's potential still. I think it's going to take more infrastructure, like Sean's saying, and it will just exist and you can use it when you need it.
Yeah, I just can't bring myself to do the MQTT thing. It's like those stupid rapid radios that I see on Facebook every single day, and it pisses me off. It's like, I don't want to rely on infrastructure to communicate. That's the whole purpose of this entire hobby.
Oh, yeah, MQTT is definitely a stopgap. There's no doubt about it. You know, if you're doing that, you know, you're kind of circumventing the whole point. But if you don't do that, then it can be pretty disappointing, as you well know. So it is definitely, you got to just accept for what it is. It's a stopgap, and so you just got to decide until it's matured and developed. Do you want to see nothing, or do you want to see stuff that you don't, that doesn't count? You know, it's like it's kind of like you got to make the decision. In what way do you want to, you know, violate the principle, you know, or, you know, you'd rather see nothing, right? That's fine. And, you know, I like seeing the MQTT traffic just to kind of know the network's up and running. And then, it's a concession. You know, I understand that, well, that was MQTT. So, really, in that case, it's meaningless. So, I don't know. They're both, you know, they're both troublesome, but at least with the one, like Anthony was saying, you could see some traffic and stuff. But again, you know, it really does, like you said, defeat the purpose. So I don't know. You got to make that call, Anthony.
So I do agree with you, Sean. The one thing that my one takeaway of MQTT is that, and this is a reckless understanding of the technology, you're still sending text messages, although over the internet, that are not hosted by a carrier or anyone else. So my understanding of it, it's more your data is your data than about any other messaging network that you could operate on. So there is still some value in the MQTT. Over to you, Dakota.
It's still on someone's servers, though, isn't it? It's got a route some way or another. No, I don't think so. I think it's all just stored forward, and it just exists, you know, in what mesh passing nodes storing forward it. I don't think it's existing anywhere else.
Yeah, that's my understanding of it, because there's also the encryption that you can do on channels that even if you are passing traffic node to node, you and the sender or you and the end recipient have to have the encryption code. So, I mean, encryption can be broken, don't get me wrong, but I think they just pass traffic and it's not hosted anywhere other than on your device, is my understanding of it. Again, could be totally wrong. I'm just an idiot. Over to you, Dakota.
That reminds me, my whiz block in that little solar enclosure has been outside for about a month now, totally dead. Now that it's been warming up and sunny, I wonder if it's going to come back to life. Yeah, it should pop up. One of these days it'll pop up for you. And you would think it's been pretty gray, not a lot of sunlight, but yeah, it should... It should get to, yeah, really, really good sunny day to get it charged right up. Give it a little legs to get through a dark period, to get through the night. So, anywho, but yeah, I completely agree. Running the MQTT is kind of, I don't like doing it, but I pick one and I run it MQTT, and There's one down in my shack that's running MQTT. Then I got one that's way up high in my place, you know, that is listening for whatever I can hear from the house. That one is not. So anything that's going to route's got to come down to the shack, the one in the shack there. And, you know, it has to go through my upstairs one. Then I got one at the shop. And I haven't checked that one in a while. I'll check that one when I get in. And, I don't think I put that on MQTT either. I'm not sure on that one, though. So I'll have to take a peek under the hood. I haven't done that in a while.
You know, that's what I find I have problems with stuff is when I don't maintain it regularly and check on it. And, you know, like you said, Sean, you got so many of them going and trying to operate them, and then it all comes crashing down when you finally go to check on it and monitor it. So hopefully it's working out well for you. I haven't had that problem with MeshTastic in a long time, so, but I know that it's been an experience of mine in the past where you think you're setting it and forgetting it, and you just forgot it. It didn't stay set up. Over to you, Dakota.
My problem is I set everything, forgot everything, and then everything died. I had one of these ones I got from John. It's a T-Beam or something like that. I had that set up at my shop, and one day I came in, I didn't see it. I went and looked at it. It's all warm and dark and... So I tried to reset it, looked, popped the battery on it, tried everything, and put the battery back in, and just wouldn't come back to life. So it died on the vine. Got another one of his up on the county building. I haven't looked in on that one in a while. I should do that. And then three of the little Helltech B3s just floating around. So I got like four of them active right now. So, but they're nothing special. The best antenna is just one of those, you know, cheap little $4 curly Q antennas that they sell.
bag mounts that don't stick to nothing. I got you got those antennas on a couple. So anyhow, it's yeah, I'll check the ones at work and maybe at the county building today, see if they're still cooking, what they've been seeing, stuff like that. I think the garbage dump just got back online from what I was reading in the Slack or in the Telegraph. So yeah, it's absolutely died. But there's just nothing new happening, right? You know, we all got what we got, nothing new, and until something new happens, it's probably going to just sit there crickets.
Exactly. I think you need a major update or a new piece of hardware to come out to re-inspire people to be involved. Once, I know we've talked about a million times, but once they have the over-the-air updates, I think that's going to change the game, and people will be utilizing the technology way more. I think it's something that's holding back the progression of people using it, whether they realize it or not. Over to you, Dakota.
Yeah, I should charge one up and just see if those guys around me are doing anything with it. I know they said they were putting up more nodes and building some outdoor ones, so I'll have to plug one in and get it juiced up and see what's around me again. But I'm at the office. I'm running a little late today because 53 traffic was horrendous. So I'm going to jump out, but maybe I'll catch you guys on my way home. Everyone have a good day, and I'll talk to you guys later. NAPDF. Catch you later.
Have a good one, Dakota. Sean, what are you up to today? Anything fun? Any new sites or big services coming to take place?
No, not really. I got a guy retiring in a while. It's gonna be May, but so we've been trying to get some of his jobs and duties kind of like figured out. You know, we've been working on trying to figure out who's gonna fill that hole and all that, and then we got to probably start the hiring process. They say that since he's officially put in docs and he's officially leaving, we can start the process of getting his replacement. I don't have to wait till he leaves and then start the process, so I could theoretically have a guy in, you know, within a week of him leaving. So normally it takes a lot longer, but so all that's coming up. But other than that, I got regular work, you know, thing next week I gotta do. Gonna be in Muskegon. But other than that, nothing special. Just plugging away.
I hear ya. It is a grind right now, and it's probably only gonna get worse because you get that spring excitement and then realize it's not actually spring. And that is a real buzzkill. So you gotta just keep getting through it. It'll be spring soon. You'll be hiring a new guy, and everything will be moving forward. But man, it is this nice weather is nice, but I think it's a little bit of false hope.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to us getting out of this because I've got a construction project I gotta get started. And I do got some yard work I probably got to start figuring out how I'm going to get done. It's going to cost me several thousand dollars. Anyway, you look it up, I got a big tree. It's got to come down. So do it now before the leaves come up. It'll be a lot easier.
Yeah, hopefully it's not too far into your yard because the ground will get super wet and they'll start sinking in, so it might
thought about that, but yeah. No, I know my. I can get pretty close to the big tree that's got to come down in my neighbor's driveway, and I'm sure he'd if there was a bucket or crane or something that had to come in do it. I'm sure he'd allow that, but I'm not 100% sure. They may have to come back. That would be a bear. I never thought about that.
Yeah, because depending, they could go, hey, we're not doing this until the leaves are on, like you said. So, I don't know. Might be something to look at.
I'll have to start making calls. Yeah, never thought. Didn't even think about that. So, anyhow. Running a little late today. And got to get in and I have a not prepared this morning. Kind of out of sorts. Slept a lot last night. I went to bed a lot earlier than usual because I thought I was coming down with something. And I don't know. I still may be, but got to bed early and slept all the way through. I woke up briefly at like 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, somewhere right in there. Went back to sleep and slept through, so I slept well. So, but I got up, isn't that weird to get all extra sleep and I got up late? Weird.
I totally get that. I slept hard last night, and I am out of sorts, like you said. I think I could have slept another 3-4 hours, and that is absolutely unlike me. So, I don't know. I could use some more. Might have to go to bed early tonight and try to get a little extra. We'll see what happens. But, man, it's something in the air, something in the weather, because I feel the exact same way.
Well, and I got another pressing matter here this morning that I don't want to discuss. I think that's enough. So, trying to get in quickly here.
Gotcha. Hopefully you're close to the office.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. What's it supposed to be today? It's already 41. Geez, we had 50 yesterday. You going to hit that again?
I think I saw this morning when I looked, they're calling for 48, so there is a high probability that it could squeak up another 2 degrees and hit 50 again, which does not make me sad.
Oh, yeah. Seems like these days when they're wrong, they're always wrong in that direction. You know, it's like warmer than they thought. But just glad that the, I think we're past the frigid temperatures. I don't know if we're going to get back down to single digits again. But, I mean, you never know. But I think we got through that. Those I didn't care for. I could live with anything down into the teens or 20s. Teens are pretty bad. But, you know, you stay in the 20s or above, I can throw a jacket on and be fine. But some of that stuff we had where it got down there, 0, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, that's downright cold, man. And then, of course, you adjust. So, you know, now that we're all thinned out and more adjusted to 40-something, we'll get a cold blast and we'll only go down to 20, but it'll feel like 0.
Yeah, that's usually how it works, isn't it? But, yeah, I think you're right. I think the single digits, that's over. You know, we're a few days out from March here, and, you know, it can be either way. Some of our biggest snowstorms have been in March and April, but usually when we get a big storm like that, it's a day or two, and it's all melted, just like will look like it is outside right now. All that snow that we got, what was it, last week and a half ago, it's all almost gone. So, after a 50-degree day, that's what you expect. And they go up and down in March and April, so I think you're right.
All right. I'm making the final approach here. Let me jump out. You take care. I say drive safe, but well, always drive safe, right? But there's no, doesn't seem to be any hazards here this morning, so just keep your eyes peeled for the goofballs. And, we'll catch you maybe on the way home. After yours, I'll probably be destinated W8FU.
All right, Sean, have a good day. I am about in the same position as you. I got about 1 minute till I'm at the office. So I will talk to you later. Have a great day. K8RUH.
WAPAP. K8TFM from WAPAP. NHDBL. They let you out on good behavior.
Something like that.
Very nice. I just went through my morning stuff, preparing for the day. It's amazing how much, like, you gotta do, like, paperwork just to get work done. Like, you gotta, like, organize all the things that, you know, talk to people and all that stuff, and then you finally do your work in the afternoon.
Yeah, I usually start between 7 and 7:15, and that's when I do my housekeeping and the remedial tasks that need to be done every day, like I need to update dashboards and all that fun stuff. And then it gives me a little bit of time to chip away at whatever projects I've got underway. And then 8 o'clock, people start rolling in, and then that's when the real work starts because no one knows how to do anything.
It's all fun. I started, beginning of this year, I started doing like a work journal. Like, I'll write notes down to myself, like what needs to be done, because I forget so much. And it's actually helped me out pretty well. You know, a lot of them are just like bookmark links and stuff, because there's just so many, like, you know, somebody gives you a link to somewhere, and you just, like, it's hard to keep track of all that crap. And I hate leaving, like, 20 tabs open, or 50 tabs.
That's what my browsers look like. There's just bookmarks on bookmarks on bookmarks. And it's not links to stuff. It's just, like, anything that I know I need to use. So I've got a bunch of that. And then you and I talked about it before. My old job, I had that Remarkable. And I really do miss that thing. I don't know that I'm in a role, not necessarily a role. Our workflow doesn't really require that I write that much stuff down because it's usually fix this and fix it now. So as stuff comes in, we just have to handle it. It does, I will say, our planning further out could definitely be improved on, because we're always in the day, so maybe I will start making some better notes, like you said. You're using a software, though, right? You've got, what the heck's it called? Remind me.
I'm using something called Obsidian, and I'm not sure how I found it. I think a coworker was using it. And the benefit to that is it stores, like, locally versus, like, being in the cloud. That's why I started using it, because a lot of the notes and stuff that I want, I don't want it in the cloud and all that stuff, because it's like, I try not to put passwords and stuff in it. I have, like, a one password vault just for work, and like anything that's like sensitive passwords, I'll put in there and just like go see the vault, or I'll put a note in there, go see the password vault for that.
That's not a bad idea, especially with passwords. We use Dashlane, which is, it's like any of the other password vaults. It's just a browser extension, and I've never been a fan of vaults, but I will tell you, I don't know any of my passwords, and no one would be able to guess them, so it is kind of nice. But again, I'm still indifferent on it. We have it as an SSO, so basically, if you can sign in as a user, then you can sign in all the stuff that they're using it.
Yeah, it's true. I use it a lot to share passwords with people, like as far as like, or instead of putting the password in chat or whatever, you send them like an encrypted link or whatever that only they can access through, like you said, SSO, and then they can go and read it and stuff like that. But we do a lot of, like, sometimes they have to send tokens to each other and stuff like that. And everything expires after a while. So even if it gets compromised, it's going to expire, and then you got to get another token.
We do something similar, but that's the main thing I like about our password manager is I can share it out as a read-only. That way I can control the credentials. It's easy to revoke if need be. That's kind of what I've adopted. I'm making sure IT owns everything, because there was a period of time where users were, sharing critical documents, like things that people are in and out of every single day for our workflows, depending on the department. They were being shared out of personal OneDrive, and I was like, absolutely not. We're taking control of this. We're hosting it somewhere else. And it's amazing how little things like that, like people don't think, like what if that person leaves, dies, quits, whatever. Then you just lost all of that unless IT knows better and recovers it.
Yeah, security is a hard problem to solve. I'm glad I'm not in that team anymore. I'm just like the end user, right? I'm like the IT makes the decisions, security makes the decisions, and we're just like, we follow their guidance.
I just accept that you can't make everyone happy, and you got to do what's best for the company and the general population, so that's how we make our decisions.
There you go. So they have you sending out, are you off on a remote assignment, or you're not doing a work task right now?
I am off to the CEO's house to rack and adopt a new switch, and I've got to do some training for some other employees while I'm there. So work, but not work. And then, I don't know, depending on how long I'm here, I'm either going to have an early day or I'm going to go back to the office for a little bit and then head home.
Nice. And I just saw one of your trucks drive by. Today's our garbage day.
Mine too, but I'm so sick of taking a can. I told you this. I'm going to get a dumpster because, again, I have my truck full of garbage. Granted, I bought another toilet this weekend, so I had the old one to throw away and the box and all that stuff, but I'm just sick of every Tuesday morning I spend like 15 minutes getting the garbage to the curb.
So you could put like a dumpster, is it going to be like a permanent dumpster that you put at the end of your driveway or what?
The first project I have, which is probably going to happen hopefully this weekend, is I got to redo the driveway, so I'm going to get a bunch of stone brought in. And the dumpster is going to be not by the house, but like not by the road either, at the end of the driveway towards the house, and it'll be a front load dumpster, so you know, we'll come pick it up once a week. All I got to do is walk out there and throw stuff away. I don't have to deal with the can anymore. I don't have to deal with boxes anymore. It's all going in the dumpster.
That's a good idea. I'm so glad I bought a second bin. So I've got two garbage bins. I don't need it every week. We need like one and a half. Like, but having two has been real helpful. Sometimes we have like real big garbage weeks, and some weeks we're just, we do fill one bin a week, no matter what, so it's like, whether we need the second one or not, and then we have the recycle bin, so we have, you know, cardboard boxes and things going that, so I'm putting three bins out there every week.
The nice thing for you guys is your pickup is covered in your taxes because it's a municipal contract. But for me, if I wanted another can picked up, I'd literally have to pay double. So I'm a subscription customer because of where I live, because Elmont's dumb. And it's $81 a quarter, so if I wanted another can, then it's another $81 a quarter. So if I'm going to do that, I might as well get a dumpster for, I think it's $50, $55 a month.
Yeah, do they, well, I'm guessing they don't pick up loose bags next to it, like if you fill your bin, or do they?
No, they will, and that's one thing I love about what we do is pretty much if it's at the curb, we'll take it. Each contract or subscriber or whatever, not subscriber, subscription is all generally the same, but each contract's a little different on bulk items, how many are allowed per week, and then how many extra bags. I want to say it's 11 or 12 garbage bags, so they've got to be tied, and we'll take them. And then, you know, I always have, like, I've got a toilet box out there full of broken down boxes in my old toilet, and then we'll take that too.
Yeah, right before I leave Sterling Heights, they instituted the policy where you're not allowed to have any loose bags. I don't know if they rescinded that, you know, if people complained enough and the city renegotiated, but that was like the initial thing where they weren't letting, the only trash that we're going to pick up is if it was in the bin.
Well, that's dumb. I don't know how the negotiations work. I mean, I wouldn't put it past the city either from people complaining, because we get those calls all the time too. People will complain that there's, you know, too much garbage on the side of the road on garbage day, and they're like, well, what do you want us to do? Like, we're coming to get it. So I wouldn't put it past the city to say, you know, you guys can't have loose bags out anymore because people called and complained about that, too. But I'm not saying we're innocent either. Who knows? We could have been, I don't think we would say that unless it was getting ridiculous and every house was doing it, but who knows, man. I'm fortunate that I know a couple people, so if I've got a ton of stuff at the road, I just make a phone call and it's gone. But, yeah, our drivers are pretty good. Typically, if there's a bag there, they don't care. They'll grab it.
Yeah, it was just annoying for me at the time because they started that new contract, so it was really strict at the beginning. They were not taking any bags, and it was all, like, in the brochure and everything like that from the city. It's like they gave everybody a bin, because not everybody had a bin at the time. So everybody got one free bin, and all the garbage had to be in the bin. And they were taking the old contractors' bins. They were letting you use those. So I had like extra ones. I don't know how I acquired like three or four bins, and I was just loading them every week. and, you know, they took it all. But I was limited by how much I could put at the curb by those three bins. So it took me, like, a good, like, 3 months of filling those bins up every week. And, you know, while I was clearing out my house before I put it up for sale. So that's what I remember from it. I'm so glad I don't have to do that anymore.
NADBF, that is pretty bad timing that they went under contract right when you were getting ready to sell your house and cleaning out stuff. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how we make as much garbage as we do, honestly. Like, everyone I tell that I'm, like, filling a truck bed and then taking a 95-gallon or 96-gallon cart to the road every Tuesday, they're like, how? And I seriously attribute it to, like, we're still doing stuff to the house and then Amazon boxes. So I should start burning them, but I'm not walking in my muddy yard to go burn boxes yet. So it'll probably go down at some point, but I'm thinking I'm going to do a dumpster for a 12-month contract and then make my life easy and then maybe go back to a cart when I'm all done.
Well, I found out as the kids get older, they generate more garbage. And most of the garbage, you know, my wife always says, well, you're one person. You know, I go, I don't know how you guys generate so much garbage. It's like when you guys, like when they're gone for a week, like sometimes they'll go on like on a trip or something. If they're gone, I don't fill up that bin. You know, I have maybe one bag, right? And it's like, well, you're one person, and there's four of us. And it's like, yeah, but if you multiply that one bag by four, it's like I still don't generate as much garbage. So, I mean, I can't argue with that. You know, it just becomes a fight and all that stuff. But my family just generates a lot of garbage, and it's not just the Amazon boxes, because, you know, I got a separate bin for that. And, yeah, it fills up. But I'm able to, like, stop the boxes. Like, I'll just, like, put the box, like, fully, and I'll just, like, kind of, like, crush it, you know, just stand on it. I used to, like, take the knife and cut it and all that stuff, but now it seems like we haven't, you know, you can just crush it and then put it in the bin and it's fine.
That's what I found myself doing at 6:30 this morning, was breaking down boxes to put them in another box with a toilet. Yeah, you're not wrong. I feel like the older the kids get, like you said, the more garbage they're going to make, so maybe I will end up just keeping the dumpster. But I argue with my wife about this literally every single week, and I always send her a picture of all the garbage I had to take out. I'm like, I hope you like the color yellow, because we're going to have a dumpster in the driveway.
That's going to be fun. You know, when I moved, first moved in here, it was like every week we had, we just had a ton. And same thing with my neighbor. I was joking with him when I met him. I go, yeah, we were just like you. You know, the first 2 weeks we just had like, must have had about 20 bags out on the curb from all the stuff that we were breaking down. And you know, it was a lot of work. But now we're in a groove. It's not as bad. So you get used to it after a while. My advice is just don't argue with your wife about it. Just get it done. And it sucks. It's every week you gotta do the garbage, but it's, you get used to it. And, I try to train the kids right. You know, like, hey, if you're going to take that, you know, consume it all, don't waste it. So we have to throw it away.
If my garbage day was like Friday and it was, you know, I'm going to work in jeans and a polo and it's one thing, but it's on a Tuesday and it's, you know, it's not uncommon for me to be wearing a button up or a jacket because I've got meetings or something, and then I'm monkeying with garbage, and then she's like, well, why don't you take it out the night before? I'm like, yeah, when you get home at, you know, 8 o'clock at night, 8:30, and then I'm going to go back outside in the dead of winter to take garbage out. So I have done that, but I'm just going to, I don't know. I think I'm going to get a 2-yard dumpster, see how that goes, and then make my life easy. That's the other thing. I'm picking up the garbage can, the 96-gallon can full. I'm picking it up and putting it on my tailgate.
wow. Maybe you get a trailer. Or get one of those, you're going to have to get a yard tractor at some point, I'm guessing. You just put it on that.
I've been looking at them. We need like an actual tractor, so it would serve that purpose too. I got buddies that have, I don't run my hitch in the wintertime because it's an expensive hitch and I don't want salt getting on it and rusting, so I just have a D-ring on my hitch or on my truck. But I got buddies that they say they just lean the handle of the garbage can up against the ball on the hitch and they just drag it to the street. And I was like, I would do that and I guarantee you it's falling off and garbage is dumping all over my driveway.
AF, 8S. Yep. Yeah, there's no easy way to do it. I just try to be proactive through the week. I mean, that's another thing you can try doing is, like, instead of being overwhelmed with it one day, just try to be proactive a little bit each day with the garbage. I try to, like, organize the boxes so that they're ready for stomping on and things like that. And I don't even put them in the bin until, the night before because, like, sometimes you got to play a little bit of Tetris with the boxes, right? So you don't know what you're going to have to put in or what your weekly load's going to be like. So I just kind of, like, stack them. And then, you know, a lot of times there's, like, styrofoam in the boxes. You got to take that out, maybe throw it away in the regular garbage and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, I don't even have recycling. If I had recycling, I think that would solve half my problem because the majority of the stuff I'm getting rid of is boxes, but they're going in with the garbage or they're going, you know, broken down in a bigger box because we don't have recycling. I forgot what the cost was, but I was like, I'm not paying that.
Yeah, do you know for a fact that it doesn't get mixed? Like, do they actually sort the recycling out? Like, are we wasting our time?
No, we definitely do not mix. If we do, it's an emergency. But for the most part, everything is sorted and picked up separately, and then it's taken to a different transfer station. So obviously, there's some that doesn't make it, but for the most part, the recycling does get it.
Well, that's good to know. But yeah, I can see like emergency. I mean, I do the same thing. Like if my recycling bin is full, it's just gonna go into the regular garbage. It's like, well, that's can't recycle any more than what I got in my box. So off to the. But it's worth it for me to. I think it's part of the contract for Macomb that you get a recycle bin. And so I gotta pay quarterly, I think, too, or something like that. But it's not that bad. I think it's like $40 a quarter or something like that.
Those municipal contracts are the way to go. Those are, you know, they're pretty decent compared to, like you just said, 40 and you've got recycling, and I pay 81 and I don't have recycling. So it's a lot better that way.
Yep. Well, the next task, now that it's becoming March, is I got to get on the contract for my irrigation system and fertilizer and all that fun stuff. So the next expenses.
Oh, I hear you. I got a lot of stuff I got to do, and I'm not looking forward to it. These warm days are just reminding me that it's right around the corner. But give me a minute here. Wait a minute. Does it have a drive-through? There's a tropical smoothie drive-through here. This is amazing, right off the Telegraph.
All right, I'm actually heading into a meeting in like a couple minutes, so I gotta clear anyway. So we'll chat with you later. Good luck with your boss's stuff and new training. We'll chat with you later. I'll listen out though. KF8S.
Sounds good, man. I'm pulling to the drive-thru, so I'll catch you later, maybe on my way home. NADF.
Welcome to the WDH AM.
KE8BSI. What's for lunch?
Good question on the lunch. Sitting in here in my car about to make the short trip home. Yeah, I got some leftover soup, so it might have to be a soup and sandwich kind of day. N1KRD.
Ah, very good. Yeah, I'm doing a lot of that at-home stuff, so I'm actually heading out to find something. And didn't know if anybody was out doing the same thing.
Yeah, I thought about it, but got a lot of leftovers at home, so I figure chip away at that and save some money. So what's sounding good to you today? I think it's Greg, right? Name here is Nick. We've been a little while, but we've talked on here before.
Yep, it's Greg. I think I'm going to head to Culver's, get me a burger.
Okay, good choice, good choice. Can't go wrong with the butter burger.
Yeah, went a little too long today without eating, so I'm very hungry. It's close, and it's good, so that'll work.
Well, the question is, are you going to top it off with a shake or some custard or some kind of dessert?
Now, as yummy as that sounds, I've never gotten into the habit of doing that away from home or at places like that. I do a lot of that kind of eating at home, so I don't need to do it when I'm already going out to a burger joint or whatever. So, yeah, they do got good ice cream and stuff, but nope, just be getting the burger and being on my way.
All right, yeah, that's probably for the best. Good to have the willpower and not give in to that temptation.
That could easily be done, but, all right. Well, I'll pull an end, and I'm going to go get fed. Nice chatting with you. We'll talk to you soon. KE8VFI.
All right, yeah, nice little quick chat. Enjoy your lunch. N1KRD.
W8EAP. W8EAP. CQ, CQ, KE8, SXT, CQ. KE8, QIM, Kilo Echo 8, Quebec, India, Sierra. Echo 8, Quebec, India, Sierra.
Kilo Echo 8, Quebec, India, Sierra. Standing by.
NACTT, Mobile.
KP8VSI Mobile.
Oh, I'm almost too tired to talk, but I gotta drive, so I better not be.
Oh, long day, huh?
Yeah, a little manual labor today. We have to once again make room for construction. You probably saw there's been a lot of construction at my place, and we've got to make room to relocate somebody. So Paul and I spent most of the day just moving stuff around and trying to get out of their way, I guess, is the way to put it.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I know what you're talking about there. Kind of already did that once, but apparently you had to do it again. So, yeah, that'll wear you out, that's for sure.
Yeah, there ain't nothing really left. If we got to vacate any more space, we got to leave. So we're down to the shop and our little garage that's attached just to us, and a hallway. And we've given up a room for a dispatch training center, construction, and now our garage. It's moving over to our big garage, which really wasn't ours, but we had a lot of stuff over there. So we just have to really get out of their way. We're not losing any space, per se.
Oh, all right. Well, there you go. I guess there's just not the overabundance of office space or whatnot that everybody said there was, or at least not within the county. I don't know.
Well, these are things I was asking about very early on, like, what are you going to do with rehab? What are you going to do with rehab? And everybody's like, shrug, I don't know. Deal with them when we get there. You know, where are they going to put? This is the garage operations for the fleet. And they call rehab garage. Anyhow, we got notified just a short time ago. Oh, yeah, they're going to have garage space. You. We got a lot of trades in that space, and we're in that space. But none of us really use it full-time. It's mostly mostly just overflow storage, things like that. So, well, but yeah, when you tear things down, you got to find some place to temporarily locate them, right? That's what's going on. What are you up to today? You got anything exciting going on? Sounds like you might be out and about.
Oh, nothing great here. Well, yeah, actually, kind of. Got out in the nice weather, and I'm actually on my way home from Wetzel. So I went out looking for Bigfoot, didn't make any contact with that guy, but got some other contacts anyway. There was another station in the middle of your transmission. I couldn't understand who he was, but Tim barreling on top, almost like he didn't hear you. I don't know what that was, so we'll take a pause for that guy, and then back to you, Sean. This is KP8VSI.
Who knows, probably Eric just keying up, because he can. Well, I'm right by El Fagan, that Mexican restaurant that we were talking about a little while ago, where they have the Mexican buffet. It's
still haven't been.
I don't know if I heard that conversation. Wondering what a Mexican buffet is. There's like five ingredients. Just kind of mix and matches as you want to go. I'm not sure, but it sounds like it could be good. I got to imagine that's near your home quarters.
This is at 13 Mile and Hayes, so just on my route home. But, yeah, we were on the, I don't know if we were on the Node or we were on Telegram. I think we were on the Node. And we were talking about buffets and restaurants and stuff, and I had pondered the question, I wonder if there's a Mexican buffet. I've never heard of a Mexican buffet. And somebody looked it up. I think Eric looked it up, found that one. So, but it wasn't scheduled to start until earlier this year, or maybe last year. God, it could have been that long ago we were talking about it. And then we all said, oh, man, we got to go there, blah, blah, blah. So, never have, but I drive by it all the time and think, man, I got to get there for the Mexican buffet. But anyhow, you know, one thing, you know, just circling back, you said you were out there at Wetzel looking for Bigfoot. You know, the other thing that would be a unique sighting out there is that that one guy, the one guy that is the leader out there, I think he's kind of like Bigfoot out there.
Right, yeah. No, I've seen him on the leaderboard many times. Never saw him while I was there, so there was no other operators as far as I know, at least in the parking lot where I was. So, that would be a good sighting, though. I wouldn't mind chatting him up and see what all he ends up into and all that. So, and yeah, that I shouted out when I left my house. It was a little late, like 11:45. I was hungry and I asked what's for lunch in case anybody was listening and wanted to grab something. So maybe one of these days you and I or whoever was down there and get some lunch.
Yeah, I try to keep ear on the radio, but I was out in the garage doing that move work today, so I was nowhere near the radio. So I would have missed it. But I called Dave. I was out Saturday or Sunday. I can't remember which one. I called Dave and KZHC Dave to see if he was game for some La Pumas. He sounded disappointed that he didn't get my call, because he would have definitely liked to have done that. So that was fun.
All right. Yeah, I don't know what La Puma is, but okay.
Well, it's a little hot dog stand on Rochester, north of downtown. Just, you know, just a shade north. It's still in downtown. In fact, it's right there where the river crosses. And so I think that's north of Maine or Walnut or whatever it is. But it's a hot dog joint, been around there for decades and decades. They get named as, you know, best, one of the best conies in Detroit, you know, often. And it's been on my bucket list. And I found myself out that way. I think it was Saturday. I had to go to Total Wine and couple other places out that way, so I said, you know what, I'm going to do my, so yeah, it was Saturday, because I had breakfast, and I was disappointed that I wasn't as hungry as I wanted to be when I got to La Puma's at 3 for the breakfast, so I only had, I had two hot dogs, which, you know, is about the best I could do, although I don't know, you know, it was a lot of food, I don't know if I'd have done much better no matter what, but old school hot dog joint, downtown Rochester, known for their, they must have had 20 different hot dogs on that board, and there were a couple more I'd like to come back and try, but I had a Chicago dog and a Coney, and they were both pretty good.
Oh, all right. I'm sure Dave knows all about that place, and I'm sure he is kind of bummed he missed your call. Yeah, hot dog place, I'd be in for that sort of thing as well. And my wife, too, because I took her to Phoenix, and she was just elated with that. And she's into the better kind of
dogs these days, if she does them at all. So maybe we'll make that trip. Good to know. And I'm glad you made it.
Leaving a little room in there in case there's any more afternoon drive timers, or if Eric wants to do something besides drop a bomb. But anywho, it's one down, few to go. I want to go to Dooley's. I've been to American. I've been to Lafayette. I've tried all the usual suspects out in the burbs, you know, Kirby's and National and all the usual suspects out this way. And nothing's beaten Lafayette, rat poop and all. Nothing's beaten Lafayette yet. There's a little dive place called Tellway by me that does a pretty damn good job, surprisingly. But they changed their bun recently, and it's a little higher quality bun, so it loses a little of that. How do you say that? I can't say it. Loses a little bit of that. Let's say ambiance, because I can't say the French word that I'm looking for.
All right, yeah, I got you. I completely understand. Yeah, Lafayette's tough to beat, that's for sure. They got it down very good. Just had water over the road on 24 Mile here, just west of North Avenue. Had to slow down, and my clean car got splashed, but, well, I guess it wasn't that clean. So that'll be on the list again, another car wash. I've been subscription. I've been off subscription since I quit delivering. And I've only been going about once a month or less in either of our cars. So it's working out. But how's that going for you?
They reactivated me. I put it on hold, and then it and I forgot how long. I think it was 6 months, and then it restarted on in I think February, early February, or maybe late January. And I've used the hell out of it, and they just hit me for March, so I'm good for another month, or in February for the rest of February and some of March. So. We'll see. I may only finish out this next month or so because it's going to be very, very messy. Of course, I'm on a dirt road, and there's lots of little puddles and potholes and stuff. So as things transition from winter to spring, it gets really, really messy on my road. So I will play it by ear whether I'm going to keep it any longer. But I was, I'm kind of like halfway. There's a place by me I think I told you about that sells 10 washes for $4 each. You got to buy 10. And, you can use them anytime you want. You know, it doesn't matter. And you can use them on any car you want. So I don't have to use them just for my car. You can use them for, you know, my second car or my kid's car or whatever. And then if I only use one in a month, that's fine. If I use three in a month, it doesn't matter, you know. And, so that'll save me money because that more matches my style. But I got hooked back up with Jack's, and I used it a real lot. And they just built a new one, right, really, really convenient for me. And that's going to have a difference because the one that I was going to before, it wasn't far, but it was just a little inconvenient. It was on Mound Road, and I had to kind of come at it from the north, and so I had to either cut through the sub and come out on Chicago and come down, or I had to go and do the, you know, double, you know, the right and then make the Michigan left and then make another loopy, and, you know, it was a real pain in the ass to get in and out of that one. So this new one will be a lot better. It's someplace I go all the time, and it's right there. So I don't know. Maybe I'll keep the subscription a little longer. W8FU, I don't know.
All right, yep, very good. Yeah, I wish somebody around me would have that $4. If you buy a bunch, I would definitely do that. Any car, any time. For me, that's the way things are going for me now, that would be the way to go. I do have the Mr. C's is a little drive away. They do a great job. I think I could buy those in bulk, but it certainly wouldn't be that cheap. So just plug it away. You know, if I need a car wash, I get it. That's the way it is. So cool that you got that little bundle deal and the new jacks. I've got the new Clearview, which I believe now is Jack's at 26 and Romeo Plank, a little bit further than my closest one, but it's brand new and it's big and it's beautiful. So that's the one I've been going to.
So what are they charging for Mr. C's now?
It's been a while. I usually get what they call Bill's Fest, which I think is like $24, but I don't go there often. That's kind of like where I want to go if I want a really good inside and out. And it might even be $30 now, but it is inside and out. They vacuum and do the windows and this and that. I don't get cheap car washes there, so for the cheap ones, I go to, usually Clearview, or there's another competitor right down the street, which their super cheap one is like $10, and then, of course, they go up from there depending on which button you push.
Yeah, I guess that's as good as it gets, man. $8, $10. That one by me went up to $8. I used to like this one over a mile over from me, kind of where in the area of the new Jacks, but that one went up significantly, so I don't go there. It used to be a pretty good deal, and it seemed like just not long ago it was $5, and something happened there. They just, like, went way up from there, so they probably looked around and saw what other people were charging. But, we'll figure it out. I do like that one, though, right north of me. He's the closest one to me, and it's really convenient, and I get those coupons that I can use whenever I want on any car I want, so that's probably the best for me. I'm going to probably cancel my Jacks coming up here soon, and then just go back to that. We'll see. Oh, man. I feel like I got some sort of a damn cold coming on, and I got to go to Muskegon next week. God darn it.
Ah, well, you sound okay. Hopefully that'll go away before you have to go out of town, because I know that's no fun for sure. Anyway, I am in my sub, going to unpack a couple things that I brought with me and get in and chill out and post my logbook to POTA, things like that, negotiate dinner and whatnot. Hopefully your tiredness and talking got you home a little bit or closer, and we'll talk to you probably later on. I don't know, whenever. This is KE8BSI. I'll listen out.
All right, Greg, catch you later. Thanks for the drive. And, I think we made it about a mile and a half away myself. So catch you later, W8FU.
You better drink some OJ.
I got some vitamin C gummies, but the OJ's got way too much sugar. It spikes my blood sugar.
Good point. That is basically pure sugar. I'm kind of with you. I feel like I'm catching something. I've woken up a little stuffy the last 2 days. I think it's the warm weather.
Yeah, I got 3 guys sick at the shop. 2 of them were out today. 1 was out yesterday and today, of the 2. The one that was out today was sick all weekend. Thought he was better, and he was off today. And then I got another one that just got over it all, so I don't know. We still kind of looked kind of bad yesterday, and I'm kind of like, my throat's raw, and, you know, it's like I don't really feel sick, but tired. My throat's kind of scratchy and raw, and just I can feel like something's coming on.
Might be worth taking a day to man flu and just sleep through it.
It's your NyQuil and DayQuil now.
Oh, yeah. Took some DayQuil last night and zoned out real early. I can't believe how early I zonked out. And I only woke up like at 11 or 12. I can't remember. Was it straight up? I remember it was straight up 11 or straight up 12. I opened my eyes and I looked at the clock and said, oh, it ain't time to get up. Closed them again, didn't see another thing till 6 a.m., so I got a ton of sleep last night, but I was whack. So it'll be the same tonight. Take some vitamin C and
take some NyQuil and just in general try to get some rest. It's all I can do, right? There's not much you can do about the common cold. Dakota?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's pretty much ride it out and hope for the best and try to kick it. I don't do well with colds, mainly because I have no, there's no way to make it go any faster. Just gotta wait.
Yeah, first week of January and the first week of February, I got two different viruses.
I've kind of dodged the bullet for quite some time here. I haven't been sick for a while, I don't think. And it seems like it's been a while, I don't know. But so I'm overdue, I think, for something. I got to be careful if it's something serious that I don't give it to Andrea. And so she's compromised, and anything I get will be much significantly worse for her with COPD and other various things. So that's, but I don't know, we'll see. I just hope that I'm not sick for Muskegon. I enjoy that trip, and I don't feel like being sick while I'm there. Of course, if I'm real sick, I won't be going at all, but oh well. Anyhow, I am down the street, so I will be backing into my driveway by the time it comes back around to me. So everybody, be well and stay safe. W8FU.
Alrighty, Sean, rest up. Hope you feel marginally better in the morning and it doesn't get any worse. Dave?
Yep, yeah, just rest and don't watch too many cat videos. Go to sleep. That's what fixed me. Just a couple of days of rest, and I was better. So, fortunately, when I was in the height of it, my wife was off of work for a little while, so was able to rest. But I can only imagine what it would have been like if it was during the week. But fun times.
My wife and I were talking about that last night. It's been like 2 months since we had some kind of, sickness in the house. And I'm like, way to jinx it. Now we're going to get something. And then my daughter sniffles the last 2 days. And then I've been waking up congested the last 2 days. I'm fine throughout the day. When I wake up, I'm like, and it like goes away after I take a hot shower. But I'm just hoping it's not the start of something even more fun, like what Sean was just describing.
Yeah, it's been going in waves. The way we got sick was we had everybody over for Christmas, and then I found out that my humidifier was turned way down, so that's not good for your respiratory system and all that stuff. And I think that was really what caused it. We just didn't have any way of getting rid of it in the air. And, and then one of their kids had their classmates had, two of them had flu, and then I think one of my kids got it, and then gave it to the other one, and then I got it, and then my wife got it a little bit. It's like, oh, good Lord, not again. But, no, everything's good now, though. So the warm weather, you'd probably be okay because, with the weather warming up, I think it won't last as long.
My truck's at 55 degrees right now, and I would kill for it to stay this way, but I don't think it's going to. I learned, not too long ago, I don't even have a humidifier on my furnace, so that's something I got to look into next winter. But honestly, It hasn't been too bad. I don't feel like it's been super dry. But yeah, with the warm weather right around the corner, hopefully these illnesses start to die off and we can get through the nice part of the year without anyone having the sniffles.
Yeah, I'm so happy that all the snow is finally melted. The front yard, my front yard still got a bunch of snow, but the backyard completely melted. So I was able to go out there with the dog. Like the first time I think I've introduced the dog to the yard. So she really liked it. But first she didn't know what to do. It was like, where am I? What am I doing? And then she started following me. It's funny.
Oh, that reminds me. I'm going to go home to a very messy yard that my dog is going to have to go out in.
Yeah, I get the mud room ready.
Yep. I'm not looking forward to it. But I'd rather go through a month of a crappy yard and water and that whole thing instead of this frigid tundra we've been living in. So I guess we'll see. I'm hoping. Someone said, I think it was Sean this morning, he said that, like, it's back in the 20s in the next 2 days. Or no, Donald. It's back in the 20s in, like, the next 2 days. So that's a bummer. I was hoping we were going to be enjoying this.
Yeah, we know better in Michigan. It's not going to be too bad. I'm looking at the forecast. Okay, so today, 53 is, today is the highest, and then 37 for Wednesday, 41 for Thursday, 40 for Friday. So, you know, it's not going to be, like, bitter cold. The lows will be cold. Like, Sunday is going to be the coldest day. Sunday is going to be 29 for a high. But then it creeps back up a little.
I saved my reputation.
Come on, Leatherman, let's hear it.
That was yesterday morning. I was talking about the weather. We're looking at 39 on Wednesday, 41 on Thursday, 47 on Friday, 31, 31, 40, and 46 through Tuesday. And then down to 35 next week, Thursday. So that's where we're at. And that's the updated weather forecast off my phone. W8RCY, we're clear. Continue on, gentlemen.
We get weather on the fives here instead of the eights.
Hey, I'll take that weather report. If 35 is the lowest, 29 is the lowest, which still is not bad. But if we're in the 40s and 30s, hey, man, we're getting there.
Saturday night and Sunday going into Monday at night, it's going to be 31 degrees, but everything else is going to be looking up from what I'm looking at right now. All right, I'm backing out. Let you guys get back to it. W8RCY. Have a good afternoon.
All right, have a good one. KF8S. And, hey, at least it's not going to snow. There's no snow in the forecast. There's rain. There's no snow, though.
It's 4:30. The sun is still well up in the sky. There's no snow on the road. I'll take this. I know it's too good to be true and we're not out of the woods yet, but this is definitely a nice treat if you look back at the last, like, 2 months of hell winter. But we'll see what the following, you know, 2 weeks bring and when we're going to get snow in March and maybe even in April. Did you get a chance to put your counterpoise, or get a new counterpoise at ADBF?
No, I'm just using the one I got out there. It's pretty long. I mean, probably about 20 feet, but honestly, I don't even know if I need it because I don't seem to see, at least with my antenna, I don't seem to see a difference with it on or off. It's about the same. So I could probably lose it and it'd be fine.
You're also resident, so I don't know. The coax is counterpoise. But I didn't do an A-B comparison, but when I put it on and I went inside, like, 20 was rocking. Like, there was no noise. So, I don't know. I guess I could take it off and see. But if it's not broke, don't fix it, and that's kind of what I'm running with.
Yeah, and if you have the space and it's not interfering with anything on your ground, then, yeah, keep it, and you'll be fine. I was thinking, though, like, as far as, like, if we really wanted to talk on HF or whatever, I think it would be better if we both had verticals for that type of communication, just because... I don't think that, you know, I think if we're both vertical, then it'll be, you know, what do you say? It's like we're the same polarization, and then, like, I think it'll do the end of this a little bit better that way, but I don't know. I really think, you know, if we don't really want to talk on the radio, we should probably just, like, point a beam at each other and use 2 meter.
So when I was researching antennas, a lot of what I was finding from the Chameleon, because they're the tactical guys, like my antenna, for example, the MCOM, they say if you run it horizontally, that bends it. So I don't know. I feel like it is. Like, you could hear me pretty all right, right?
Yeah, I was hearing you fine. It was just I had a big noise, like, or, you know, something artificially above noise. I think there's some local stuff going on around me, because just the way it sounds, it's like an interference buzzing noise. So it's fine on 20 and 40, 20 and 40 is kind of halfway between 20 and 80 as far as the noise problems go, but you got to remember my antenna is not resonant on 80, so not expecting super results with that.
I'm in a similar boat. Again, I still don't know anything about these 5-1 transformers, but I know that a 60-foot wire is not going to do anything magical on 80, and that's as soon as I flip over there, it's like S7, S8, attenuator on, I'm like an S6. And it's super, super bad.
Yeah, and like I think I told you this, it's like, even with like just a shortwave listening antenna on my shortwave radio, or my, you know, this HT that I'm talking about now that happens to do shortwave, I still have problems hearing anything like that 4840, where they had the report of the week on the weekend. It's got all kinds of buzzing and that, and it's just not worth listening to. It annoys me enough where I just like, I don't want to listen to that. They can't notch it out or anything with this radio, and I tried hooking up my like 705 on it, and same thing. It's a little bit better with the 710. 710 I can use the digital filters and get rid of that buzzing noise.
That's a lot of what I've been figuring out the last couple of days, messing with that 891, was how to filter things out, and I think I got it to where it's good enough. I wouldn't mind, have you ever messed with an 80 meter hamstick? Do you think that would be decent enough to mess with, or are they too narrow bandwidth?
I've never tried it, but it's a compromised antenna, you know, it's like putting a coil on it. But, you know, the other thing you can do, and they do have some software that you can plug, you plug the audio into your computer. Larry found it a long time ago, and I forgot what the name of the program was. But it puts the audio through this, like, program, like this AI... Like, it sends the audio off to the cloud somewhere, and then it gets processed and comes back to you, and it, like, really clears up audio. on there. But, you know, that's just, like, you're going to an extreme there. You know, a lot of people, you know, you just want to use your radio. But you can put your audio through filters and do all kinds of fun stuff with the computer.
I remember seeing, we did that not too long ago. I actually know. God, was that my old house? I remember what you guys are talking about, though. It's just like audio processing. There's a bunch of different ways you can do it. But, well, maybe not live. But, yeah, I like just messing with the radio. I try to keep my setups as simple as I can and just run with it. But, yeah, it would be nice to have a decent 80 antenna to where we could all just hang out over there, especially with 20 probably going to be a little flaky and then losing all the other bands coming up here.
Yeah, well, I wonder how the other bands would do at night, like 10 meter and things like that. I mean, because we're just trying to talk locally and, you know, not that far away. But last time I remember trying 10, there was a guy at Wetzel, and he was just down, he's like a 5-0 or whatever. I could hear him perfectly. Like, he was perfect. He just had no signal strength. And I just remember my brother-in-law was over here, and I was showing him ham radio. And I was like, look, I could talk over to Arizona and all that stuff. And I thought I was talking to, like, Arizona or something, but the guy was at Wetzel. And it's like, well, at least I got the POTA contact. And I was like, I was just joking. It's like, yeah, this guy is, like, about 4 or 5 miles away.
You were basically picking up the radiation coming directly out of the radio.
Yep, yeah, I had the challenge antenna outside. I did find out that $27 one, the one I was telling everybody about, the whip is not compatible with the challenge. I thought it was. It's just a little bit thinner. It's like the opposite thread, like the one that you put into the ground. That's the kind of thread, the size of the thread. But in any case, this other one, I mean, it looks exactly like the Challenge antenna. And it's got that little computer ribbon cable that you use as a radio, which cracks me up. It's just like somebody took, like, a printer cable and just soldered all the ends together. And what they're expecting you to do is just, like, you know, how you can kind of, like, strip out the little wires.
So it's a little bit of a janky antenna, but it'll work. I forgot what site it is, but I remember I was looking for, I hope I still have it. It's a quarter 20 to, oh, God. I want to say I bought it for my MPAS Lite, but there's this company out there, they make really nice adapters for this kind of stuff, so if you ever wanted to, you could find the adapter for it.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, and I think I know what company you're talking about. It doesn't come to mind, but they were talked up on one of the... I think the KMRD was the one that talked him up, like, a couple days ago. He showed what he bought at Hamcation. So he mentioned the company there. So if I can't remember what it is, I can go back to that video.
It might come to me, but it was super, super high quality. They're not cheap. It was probably like a $25, $30 adapter. But, I mean... It served the purpose. It worked exactly like I wanted to. And all I was trying to accomplish was put the MPAS with the little transformer on it on my tripod instead of staking it into the ground.
Yeah, I think that company also does, like, you know, the really good adapters, like the SO239 to BNC and things like that, like really high quality stuff. And, yeah, it was, like, for like $10 a piece or something like that. He got it at the show. But I put in an order for Signal Stick because now they have this new, it's silly, I don't know why I do this, but they have this new thing where the Signal Sticks, you can get like the adapter and you can put like a little counterpoise on your HT. So they call it a signal strand.
Is it like a BNC with a little like thumb screw on it?
Yeah, it's the same like black colored, you know, so it matches your HT, the BNC to SMA, but then they have like this like ring, this ring terminal thing on it with a little connector that you can plug in there, a little signal strand that they sell. And then, like, if you got the little dinky mono band, you know, 70 centimeter antenna, you could just cut the length to the, you know, it's cut to the length of like 19 inch for the big signal stick, but you can cut it to the length for the mono band one. And you'll, I mean, I don't know if you're gonna get much better signal, but it's supposed to like make it a little bit more stable. You know, people were complaining that the signal sticks weren't the best, you know, as far as being resonant and things like that. And that, this is supposed to help with it.
At 8 dBF. So it's not a adapter. It's an adapter with a wire. I'm just like it comes ready to go. You just screw your signal stick onto it.
Yeah, they sell the, what they call the signal strand separately for $2. The BNC to like SMA adapter they're selling for like $8, and it comes with those extra parts. So you don't have to use those extra parts. You could just make it a BNC to SMA, but they have this extra like little ring and like a little nut that tightens it, so that you can then connect their little signal strand to it to act as a counterpoise.
Interesting. I feel like when I first got, yeah, I remember when I first got in the radio, I had my FT60 and I tried the counterpoise thing. I didn't notice any difference, but I also didn't really know what the hell I was doing. I've always thought that if you're using an HT, like, you're the counterpoise.
Yeah, the radio body and the fact that you're touching it, you know, you become, like, the counterpoise. So, like, I'm looking at my 70-centimeter antenna. It doesn't really make sense to have a counterpoise because it's, like, the same, like, height as the radio. So the radio is acting as the counterpoise. But there are, you can put it in, like, an L configuration, like the counterpoise in L, and sometimes it acts like a little ground plane, and it does help sometimes getting the signal out there a little bit better. Like, is it going to be like you're transmitting at twice the power? No, it's going to just stabilize your RF bubble, you know, instead of it just going right out into space.
I wish I had more opportunities to use HTs.
Yeah, I just use them with my node. I mean, that's pretty much what I use them. And then if I'm going for a walk or something, I'll take it out with me. But yeah, it's either mobile or HT on a node. That's pretty much what I do. But if I'm outside, HT works a lot better outside.
Speaking of mobiles, did you get your reservation for the Kenwood?
Oh, no. I didn't even know they had them. I still have the reservation for that Yaesu all-in-one TOTA-type radio thingy. I'd be very curious what it sells for when it comes out. I would use it for dual monitoring. You know, I think I would enjoy that radio. I know a lot, it's not everybody's cup of tea for those type of radios, but I like using them on battery power just for listening and, you know, shortwave listening and things like that. So I'm curious about them, but I don't know if I'm going to bite the bullet. Money is a little bit tighter now than back when I was just buying these things.
I'm curious about that one too, but knowing Yaesu, it's going to come out way overpriced. Unless they do something like they did with the 500, where they've got some smoking deals in the beginning. I like everything about what they're saying in the specs. I just don't think it's going to make sense price-wise for a 10-watt radio. Now, if it was like a 25-watt or a 35-watt radio, I'd probably be way more inclined to get it, because I'm operating that 891 at, I think, 35 or 40 watts right now. And it's doing just fine. So I do miss having a nice battery-powered rig like that. That 705 I had was so awesome. But I was dumb. I sold all my gear, and now I'm rebuilding it. But I did buy a reservation for that Kenwood Mobile. My 500's been good. I can't really complain anymore. I think there is a direct correlation between the temperature and the LCD brightness and the noise that comes out of the speaker, because when the truck warms up, the noise is non-existent, and then when the weather is warm like today, the noise is non-existent. So just a finicky little radio, and you know, been a little frustrated with it. So I love my 75, and it's definitely the best HT I've ever had, and it looks like they basically took that and made it a mobile, so we'll see what it comes out at. If it's reasonable, I'm going to get it.
Yeah, it's too bad it's D-Star, though. I mean, they should have at least have done DMR or something like that. None of the big guys do DMR except for, like, you know, Motorola, obviously. But it's either Fusion or D-Star. But I guess it's marketed for ham radio use. So, but that's kind of what I was thinking with that Yaesu thing that's coming out. Is like, well, it's going to have Fusion built into it too. So not only is it a nice portable HF radio, it's got Fusion as well, and that's more useful than D-Star.
Now, I'm on the other side of that, where I'm the black sheep, and I prefer D-Star, and I love D-Star for two simple reasons. One of them's kind of a petty one. I think the hardware for D-Star is better than the hardware for Fusion. Everyone knows that I'm not a Yaesu fan. I think ICOM and Kenwood make better radios than Yaesu. The two legitimate reasons, the first one is the D-Star repeaters have GPS coordinates that these D-Star radios can locate, so based on where you're at. I love that. You can just click on it, and you're there. And then I have D-Star repeaters by me. Other than that, I don't really care either way, because my open spot does everything, so it doesn't really matter when I'm operating that way.
Yep. Well, I got a Fusion one near me, and I got a DMR one near me. It's like I got both. I'm fortunate. I can actually get into the DMR one locally. I mean, not that anybody talks on it, but even the Fusion one, when I'm driving around, you know, it's in Mount Clemens, so it's like really easy to get into. So usually I only talk to Chuck, but. But still, I mean, it's enjoyable. I heard Craig on there earlier today, too, when he went to Westbrook.
I mean, I'm pretty non-biased in the world of digital. Like, I don't care for any of them. I prefer the V-Star because of the hardware, because I've got repeaters by me. But, you know, I did talk on the Fusion repeater a ton. I just, every time I read up on these things, and people are like, what digital mode should I get? And the number one response every single time is, what's in your area? And it's obviously right, that's what makes sense.
Yep, that's true. And, you know, in this area, I could say you could live without any digital. You don't need any of that. Because you might as well just use analog, or you know, you can make your All-Star Note a digital thing as well, the DV switch. I mean, I've done it before, but it's like, well, I've got a hotspot that's in the basement, you know, and I can just listen on that if I need to do digital. So That thing just runs, just sits there. And like you, I've got the open spot, and I've got the that other guy that I bought, that Mike. I turn that one on every once in a while, too, but it's mostly for listening. I don't really talk on it.
I wanted to ask you about that the other day. How's that been? Is it holding up all right? You still like it?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, especially for testing, you know, I just turn it on and I can go through all the different modes really quick on one device. So it works well. I mean, if I was talking on digital more, you know, often enough, I would use it more. I still kind of like the open spot as well. I'm kind of glad I have both because the open spot fits the need of if you're testing a radio, and then this mic thing fills the need if you're just listening, right? I can just, similar to the open spot, you can just, like, turn it on, and you can go on your computer. I mean, it's got a built-in speaker, though, the mic does, but the open spot doesn't. So, but you can do it on this on both of them. You can, like, go into the web interface of the device, and you can have your computer be the speaker for it. And so you can listen on your computer. And this is on, you know, this thing is on my desk downstairs, and I'll be on, you know, I can be on my computer listening through it. And I guess you could do the same thing with DroidStar, but there's something about having, like, it, like, directly, like, connected. The other thing you can do with it, too, is you can use the speaker on your computer, and you can talk on the actual mic, so when you key up, it doesn't repeat you into the computer, so you're not, you know, getting the echo back out, so you can use it like that as well.
They do a good job. I get your reasoning makes a lot of sense, but the open spot for me, I have the same exact reasoning. I can touch any radio I want with it, which was my main thing, you know, with the Kenwood. I wish I had more of a use case for it, but I just really don't need, if I'm using the Kenwood, I'm talking on one of my nodes, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to prefer digital over All-Star. But, all right, well, I'm pulling up to the house here. I'm going to get inside, and then I'll grab my radio. I'll jump back. I'll jump out on the node. I haven't talked to anybody in forever unless they're out here, so I'll catch you in a little bit. NADDF.
Already, yeah, we kind of bounce, you know, most the group is usually on here or on the other, but not both at the same time. It's kind of funny. All right, talk to you later. KFAS.
Drive, 3 mile, whatever it is. You know, all this traffic I have to deal with.
Oh, you have it so rough.
Dude, it was purely accidental the way this went down. But it went down good for me.
There, you did get something accomplished. So, March 8th, I told you you're on your own with, I did talk to Dave and about the ARP thing, and he was going to hook you up with that other guy that lives in New Baltimore.
Yeah, that works. I guess I'll just take my work van down there.
you saw the, you were on a Zoom call, so you saw the, this is the control frequency, and then, I forget, 145.2 is the actual communication frequency. I took a picture of it. You should be getting an email shortly, too. So, that's what Dave said.
Yeah, he was going to start sending a time queue to do the FEMA 100 to 300.
I'm sorry, I didn't follow that conversation. 100, 300. What did I miss?
All those FEMA modules that we have to do.
Yeah, I got to get to them too. I had them before. It was kind of required. And it's a thing. You know, it's a dirty little secret is nobody uses them. It's a bunch of stuff they make you jump through to get money, but in the real world, nobody uses them.
I gotta renew my Skywarn cert also, so try to do that, get that scheduled at the end of March.
Yeah, I did find something that my wife was interested in. She wants to go to Skywarn training with me. So, that'll be fun. So, storms interest her. So, I did find a little bit of an in.
KFA-AYL monitoring. KFA-AYL monitoring.
NHIKF. Hello.
So I got the coolest thing. I bought a little step so I can get up on top of the car and reach the antenna in the middle of the roof. It's one of those little, like, plastic steps that folds up. And so I could stand right on that and easily flip out the antennas.
Yeah, that's, I had something like that for my mother when she had the Jeep, and she every time she got in it, she's like swearing, saying, so damn tall, you know, why'd you get something so tall, you know, so I got her stuff she could go up on.
And it's pretty pathetic that a guy who's 6 feet tall needs a little baby step, but with that thing, I can get up on it and not get my car all dirty and get me all dirty, and just reach over and take the big antenna off the NMO and put the little one on there.
Yeah, yeah. I used to have one of my cars, I had a disguise antenna. It was just a very low profile, and that you basically go through car washes through and stuff like that, but it didn't perform very well.
Your little black antenna is very sexy. I don't want to give that back, but I will. I'm going to order one because it looks good, and it works pretty good. Not as good as the big one I've got on here now. I was thinking about buying a slightly higher gain antenna, but those things, they get to be, like, tall enough. It's just going to rip the NMO mount out of the car if I ever hit a branch or something. So it's a little curly-Q antenna. It isn't doing too bad, but it doesn't fit my carport, so... my little metal antenna, it's got a spring on it. That one probably would get through the car wash.
Yeah, you have to be careful with those. Those have pretty solid bases, and if they get hit, they'll just bend the roof and be a mess. Like the old days when the police cars had big antennas on them, that they'd go through the car wash, and they'd actually raise the brushes. They go out there and raise the brushes for the cop cars.
I wouldn't leave that. Any of the antennas on. I got to get the car washed around and take them off. But radio's working pretty good. I talked on the, I drove to Grand Rapids today. I talked on the, what's that repeater? Just outside of Lansing. How can I forget that town? I'll think of it in a minute. All the way from almost Flint, really past Ionia, Okemos, that Okemos repeater. That's got pretty good coverage. So but you did a good job, Phil. The radio's working good.
Yeah. By the way, your audio is excellent. Awesome.
Well, thank you. By the way, I really like the voice of the guy who does the IDs on the repeater.
Yeah, we should find out who that is. Anyways, all right. So I'll let you know what's going on with the other machine and get out there. Yeah, because we got to figure out what's going on over there. And I want to change a couple things, too, so I could use a second pair of hands. So I'll try to arrange that with you.
That's fine. Love to come over and see how everything is set up. And then we can play with it all. And yeah, look, I'm very tight on money right now, but if we need another amplifier or something to make the repeater work better, let's just get it. Let me know. I'll take care of it.
All right. Yeah, we'll see. Ideally, yeah, to replace what the original equipment is would be great, but I don't know if it's going to even be possible.
Well, Bill Ross, if it can be done, whoops, I said your whole name on the radio. If it can be done, I'm sure you'll figure it out. Is it, like, and it's the final on the radio, I assume it's, like, right in the board of the repeater, and it's not another separate board or anything.
No, it's a separate whole amplifier that's in the same cabinet, but it's its own entity. I mean, I suppose if we could pull it out and try to repair it. I just don't have the right tools for that kind of thing. If you find somebody who does repair those, that might not be a bad idea.
Isn't it universal enough? I mean, it's got an input and an output and a power line. I mean, what else is there to it? other than that, couldn't you just replace it with something in there and figure a way to mount it?
Yeah, we could. Ooh, what's going on here? Oh, that's a tow truck. Yeah, I mean, it's a TPL, so I probably, I don't know, are they still even in business? I wonder if you could send it back to them and they could fix it.
Yeah, well, that'd be nice. But is there plenty of room in there? Is it clunky and crowded and you don't want to work in it?
It's pretty, I mean, it's pretty full. I mean, but, you know, it's designed to fit in there and will operate. So, we'll see. I'll have to look into that.
You got a mammy.
You think the repeater final itself is just, it's not doing the job, and it's not, it doesn't have enough power to drive that amplifier that you added?
That may be what's going on. I don't know. I mean, I was able to get enough power out, but maybe something happened. So I don't know. So I got to get there with my meters and take some measurements, see what the hell's going on.
All right, well, I'll stop.
Uh-oh, what happened?
And I got this whole other matter that we met on tonight taken care of, so I'll do all the paperwork and send some emails and stuff on that tomorrow. Yeah, glad the audio sounds good. It must be really sharp because you're like the second or third person that said something about it. So that's always nice.
That's communications quality. All right, I'm in the grass. Catch you later. Maybe 8 p.m.
Bill, have a good night. And take care.
And take a breath.
You want to say hi?
I don't know. Did I get a chance now? Good grief. Wanted to ask what was going on with the repeater, but couldn't get a word in, man. I tried three times.
Well, I apologize profusely. Name is Dave, and I guess, what do you want to know?
Oh, Dave, it's not a big deal. Just, like I said, take a breath. You guys were fast, keen, unbelievable. But, all right, anyhow, no big deal. I just was curious what was going on. I've worked with Phil on the repeater quite a bit. And, in fact, that's I'll be curious to see if it's my power amp that went bad. I'm guessing it's his old power amp that he was using as a driver. I was not real fond of that course of action, but we shall see, I guess. I'm assuming that's what's going on based on what I could gather from the conversation, that there's something believed to be wrong with the PA.
Yeah. And by the way, Phil's a very low-key, respectable, intelligent ham radio guy, as you well know, and yours truly, I'm pretty high energy, so I apologize. We just came out of a pretty intense meeting, so I'm sorry. Yeah, he thinks the final on the repeater itself is not doing the job and it's not driving the amp.
Hold on one sec. I'm going to switch over there because I'm fixed here and I should be able to call right off the bat. Hold on one second. Yep, seems a little bit down. I'm still making it okay, I assume.
Yeah, I'm listening in West Bloomfield, but I assume if you're coming in that way, which is what I assume you just did, yeah, you sound great. And, you know, I'm at Telegraph and Maple, so I'm still hearing the repeater pretty well. But I've been all over the last couple of days, and the thing, yeah, it seems like it's down a little bit.
All right, yeah, I bumped it up to medium power. I don't think I need it, but I, yeah, it's down about, I don't know, this Yaesu doesn't have a good S-meter, a marked S-meter, but comparatively it's a couple of notches underneath S9 now. I'm going to say, I don't know if that's S7, S8, and normally it's pretty near full scale, so definitely down a bit. It's at least 20 dB, if not more, so I'll be very curious to see what it is. I don't know if you're if Phil has. I've heard you talking to Phil lately, and I don't know if he told you what kind of power amplifier he's got in there. But I'd be quite surprised if it was the
new vinyl amplifier. So he's probably right. It's probably the old driver.
Yeah, I don't know the guts of that machine, nor am I qualified to have an opinion on it, unfortunately. Phil knows his stuff. He was very kind to help me put my mobile in my car the other day. And Phil is a very good friend of my brother who passed a couple of years ago, who is kind of a ham among hams. So he's hung with a hardcore over the years, I'll tell you that. So, I'm sure he'll get it fixed, but we're dinking around over there, and we're going to put a GMRS repeater up there for kind of a community project. He's just finishing that project, too. So lots of fun going on over there.
Roger, yeah, I'd heard something to that effect. So, okay, real good. No, I was just, I heard you guys talking about the output of the repeater, and I was like, oh, no. So, all right, I will let you get to it, and I'll be listening to see what Phil finds tomorrow. Have my fingers crossed it's nothing to do with the replacement amp, which I highly doubt, but let's hope not. All right, we'll catch you later. Name here is Sean, and call us W8FU.
In business, Sean. I'll try to be a little bit more cognizant of the crazy dogs. That was probably me. Very nice to meet your acquaintance. I'm sure we'll run into each other sometime. Well-deserved commentary this evening. Always welcome. Have a good evening. W8, was it SU or something thereabouts? We'll get it right. Sean, have a good evening. I didn't say Dale.
Whiskey 8 Foxtrot Uniform. All right, catch you later. W8FU.
That is a great call. I love that. That's an easy one to remember. All right, very good. Have a good evening. W8FU, I need sick cam.
W8FU from N8NM.
W8 Nacho Mama from N8. Nacho Mile. No. Ah, I'll get it out. I haven't even started drinking yet. From Whiskey 8 Fancy Underpants.
And I like that one.
Basement radio in the truck. How obnoxious is it?
Hello, Booga Booga. It is not terrible. It's a little constricted, I'm guessing. We'll let the audio file amongst us comment, but it's fine. So like, don't worry about it. But it's a little constricted, but not a problem. Go ahead, Don.
I like Fancy Underpants, and Steve Sumps, I think better than he did last time he was in the truck. I think. Good evening.
Good evening. Yeah, that other radio died, by the way, the one I was on the last time that sounded bad, so I bought another cheap piece of crap to replace it. And, I know it might not sound the best, but at least I'm getting my 5 kilohertz worth of deviation out of it.
I just switched back over to Warren, and I was listening to Phil's machine. I'm sure that's the one you guys are on. But, no, I take that back. You sound pretty good all around. I mean, it's... If I have any critiques, it's very, very minimalist. And yes, miles better than it was. So it sounds perfectly fine and plenty of audio, which is good. So no problem.
Yeah, I concur. It actually, having a few comparison transmissions between the two of you, it's 2.5, no issues.
Yeah, very good. Muy bueno. Why am I hearing audio from somewhere? I have a radio on that I'm unaware of, I think. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Okay. I think I found it. Yeah! Wow. I was back monitoring on the 2-6.
Well, there you go. So I guess, based on the conversation, Joel's machine's a little sick in the transmit department. It's down here. It's still fine, but it's down considerably. I don't even know if you guys would notice it up where you are.
Yeah, I didn't notice it on the M59 corridor. I'm too close to it.
I'm sitting in the family room at the bar and with the handheld, and it's still here. It has been very strong ever since it's been sort of revived. So I think I'm a little too close to be able to give a comparison.
Yuppers, and of course the important thing is you can make it in easily. Hearing it has not generally been the problem. So, okay, very good. But, Steve, I think you got it worked out. How long are you here, Steve? I know it's for a little while, but you've already been here now about a week, right? Just about a week? Tomorrow? Or the next day? I don't know. But you're going on close to a week. We got to make sure we do our get-together before you take off.
Well, I have kind of a change of plans. I'm working around more doctor appointments, and I'm actually going to be leaving this Saturday morning and coming back in about 4 weeks. So, that's the plan.
Well, so if we don't get something in by Friday, then we're not getting it in. Okay, well, then we might have to wait 4 weeks. So I thought you were originally going to be here for a couple, 3 weeks, and we could get something knocked out. Turns out we should have did it last Sunday. But c'est la vie, Don.
Well, let's aim for Friday, if we can. I could do game. I can make adjustments if needed. But anyway, yeah, or whatever. I would not have been able to make it over the weekend anyway. It was beneath the weather. But back in the office today for like 13 hours. Nice, long, busy day.
You know, I've worked harder the last 2 days than I have in the last 2 years. But anyways, I'm pretty much open the rest of the week. I don't think I have anything carved in stone. I've got, you know, some things to do, but nothing scheduled. They changed up my meds on my one eye, the one that's not cooperating. So that kind of resets my schedule, so I have kind of a hard stop around the end of March, 1st of April, I got to be back by.
All right. Well, as far as getting more done in the last 2 weeks, you know, it's amazing what being able to see will do, eh? Makes you busy all of a sudden. Now you can see all the things you got to get to. So I'm going to be at my thing next week, interop. So, but that won't affect the weekends. But I don't know. Maybe if Friday we can work something out. I know Phil will probably be able to make it. We'll have to put out the word with Mark and or whoever can make it. But I will give that a whirl. I'm going to be probably the wild card on that one because I come from a cross town, and that is a work day, and I'm going to be off most of the next week, so got to be careful about taking time. We'll see. I'll try to work it in.
Well, Yeah, I can travel. That's not a problem if you wanted to go down to, like, the office or something.
What's your schedule, Don, on Friday? Is it pretty open, or open within a certain degree of travel?
Friday morning is the usual dad time, for mail and bills. I was there today, too, and set up some stuff for us to take care of Friday. But, that's a little flexible at this time. It can be, I can bias it a little earlier, I can bias it a little later. And the rest of the day is kind of TBD, but I could probably make that work. Midday may be easier than early or late, if that makes sense.
You guys trying to arrange a lunch for Friday? Is that what's going on? That is kind of what we're thinking, because Steve's got to leave Saturday morning, and he won't be back for about 4 weeks. He'll be snowbird, so we might be able to get something knocked out Friday. Okay, I think I could be good for lunch. So I will make every effort, so I guess let's pick a place and a time, and I will endeavor to make it. We can move it to the text chain. Yes, I think he's noticed, Sean. I think you're talking to Dave about the transfer of their feeders. Not doing well. Again, I don't know. I'm thinking, maybe it just get out of range. It's a very tight, narrow window on the Motorola amp on the input, and maybe it just exceeded the limit or one way or the other. Well, let's hope it's one way and not the other, because the other could cause problems. But I guess you'll go see, right? I'm thinking maybe since that thing was toasty, I think it just toasties a little bit more. Yeah, maybe. I don't know when I'm going to get to it. Probably Thursday, I think is what I'm going to shoot for. So we'll see.
Speaking of toasty, this is N8NM.
Mobile U8FU.
KBD.
Hey, Steve, I have a question. I don't know why I would ask you, but in the world of the marijuanas, what is a crutch?
That's not a term I'm familiar with.
All right, well, somebody rolled a marijuana cigarette, deliberately pronouncing it wrong for the listening audience. It says, my little brother just rolled a joint with a damn piece of rotini as the crutch. And he's showing a picture of it. It's got like a spiral kind of a look to it. What's a crutch?
I don't know. I really wouldn't want to smoke a noodle, though. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Pasta.
Let's see if I can post that video to the channel. Confuse us all.
I think we had a breaking station on KBOT. He might have an answer.
Good evening, guys. I've been listening to you for a little bit. This is KF8BOT, Eric out of Holly. I just Googled that on the crutch, and it is the part of the where your lips go when you're smoking a joint, like of a pipe. That is what the crutch is. Just thought I'd add that in, and I hope you guys are having a great evening. I've just been enjoying listening to you while I've been reading up on the ham clock. But back to y'all. KF8BOT. Well, we like to see the mind. You know, we put these things out there so that everyone can learn. It's about the learning. Don?
I wouldn't know. What I do know is that my wine glass is empty, so I'm going to go clutch it or something. I'll be back.
Hey, Don, what radio are you using?
I'm on a 1989 ICOM handheld in my family room with about a 1 watt or a half a watt.
Okay, I don't know if it's on my end, but it sounds a little distorted.
It is likely wide or off a little.
Do you agree, Sean? Are you hearing the same thing? Yeah, it might be a tad on the hot side, but I don't think it's off frequency. Could he be hitting the skirts? I haven't noticed anything to make me take pause, but I haven't been listening too critically since Steve asked how his audio sounded. I'll pay more attention after he returns with his freshened up wine goblet.
Okay, I was listening through my node, now I'm listening through the repeater. Try it again, Don.
Okay, I'll try it again. So I actually bumped the power on the radio up just a little bit, maybe, so that way I'm getting in clearer, maybe improve the signal-to-noise ratio. But, yeah, so ICOM 32AT and a hand mic sitting in the family room.
Yeah, maybe it was my end on the node because it sounds better now. All right, let you guys go. Yeah, keep me in the loop on Friday, and I'll make it if I can. ABA Pierre, over to Steve. Yes, he's still there.
Yes, I am. Sean?
Okay, I did catch it that time, and it sounds to me like he's just hot. And when he gets right on it and gets hot, he might be hitting the skirts a little bit. So when he backs off a little bit, it's crystal clear. So just a little hot there, Don, and I think that's what Phil's hearing.
That's the way I like it, so I don't know what to tell you. I'll be back in a few minutes. K8BB.
What was I going to drink tonight? I don't know.
Well, Don reminded me I have a little bit of that Oberon left in the fridge. So the only problem is it's cold in the fridge. So if I unfridge it now, it's going to take a while for it to come up to temperature. So I'll have to drink it cold. Cold cab right out of the fridge. 3 days old. It's all lining up to be a very, very terrible experiment, but I'll let you know how it goes. I'll be back, W8FU.
No. Just no.
Hey, we can pop it in the microwave for 15 seconds.
I was thinking what Steve was thinking. You remember those microwave frozen milkshakes? They were frozen solid in the freezer, so you put them in the microwave for like 30 seconds and stir them up and you get a milkshake. And you should try something like that, but don't tell me because I'll cry. I'll be back.
Mine is Woodford and ginger ale tonight.
Hey, where were you, man?
I've been kind of a fireman at work, but I heard you guys talking about the event on Friday, and I will make that.
Oh, great. More pressure for me to find the time. It is a work day for me. Hey, I wasn't kidding about those bars. I do need those picked up, so.
I will get them tomorrow. I got to take the little doggy to the vet, and that's in Chesterfield, so that's just a hop, skip, and a jump. If you don't mind me bringing my little 8-pound dog into your shop.
Shouldn't be a problem. No, we found a place for them. They're making us move a bunch of stuff, and I saw those, and I saw they were all red, and they were modern electronics, flash strobes of some sort. I thought, oh, these will be quite interesting to someone.
Yeah, on the west side of the state, they let all the volunteer paid and call guys, they're still allowed to use all of them, so that will go really fast, and it will be really appreciated over there. There's a lot of youngins that can't afford that stuff, and they volunteer their time, so that will make a couple of them happy. N-A-K-B-T.
So, Don.
What?
Is that, it's that old, or that I'm drinking it cold? What's the sin?
Everything. You're doing it all wrong. Stop telling me. No, 3 days is fine. Vacuum stopper's fine. Keeping it cold slows down the malolactic processes or metabolic processes or oxidation or whatever it is that's going on in the bottle after you open it. Just let it come up to room temperature. You'll be fine. At least 55 degrees. You'll be fine. Anyway, I'm Glenn Living.
Okay, but if I don't drink it, it can't go no longer. So maybe I'll just do it right out of the bottle to really add a certain level of class to the whole affair. Steve?
I'm just being a snob. Do whatever you want.
Yeah, I find the glass just slows me down.
You're going to use a straw. At least make it one of those swizzle straws you get at the carnival.
Oh, the ones with the loop-de-loops?
Yeah, it's a great idea.
Yeah, it adds a little, aeration or something.
Man, I think I found a new hobby.
Masturbation.
And put a hole in the straw so it buried the wine.
I think we doubled.
What I noticed about this repeater, let me make sure I have it. What I've noticed about this repeater system is when people double, if one is on the Richmond and one is on the Warren, they both come through at the same volume, and they don't do that little heterodyning or whatever the term is, and it actually works quite well as long as they are on different repeaters.
This is true, but you never know if you're on the same repeater or not unless you pay attention to the courtesy tone, which I did not. But I assume you're on Richmond. If that's the case, then we would have blended. Yes, there'll be no heterodyne because there are no signals beating together, which is literally what heterodyne means. So, yuppers. It's just a matter of who had the better audio. That's who wins.
There you go. And that is one of the test questions, or at least when I was doing a little extra test here just recently, about why do they still use AM radio on airplanes or aircraft, major aircraft? And that's so two people can talk at the same time. And it still can be, the conversation still can be recognized or heard. So that was something I had learned this year, for the past year, I should say. Who else is here? BB? BB, this is PP. You're still here.
PP,
I'm here. I'm trying not to be too obnoxious, but it's one of my few talents. So here we are. And, yeah, so, Sean, I sent a picture, but I poured the Glenlivet 12-year double oak. Wow, is this good. I don't remember if this is something you said you had and I got some, or if I got some and said you should get it, but this is good.
Sorry, I heard every word, but I stepped away to get a tumbler for my the remnants of my Napa here, my cab. I've never had it. You may have told me about it, but you know the thing with me and scotch. I'm not a big fan. I've only found one so far I like, and it's probably one that a scotch drinker won't like, I'm guessing.
Remind me which one that is again.
Was it Glendrunna or Glendunna or something like that? Dunnage? I sent a picture. I can't remember how to pronounce it.
Glendunna. Good stuff. I'm pretty sure that's a blend. Yeah, I sent a picture. If you see this stuff, give it a try. If you hate it, I know where you can. I'll buy it from you. But you might like this. It's the thing is, it's not real peaty. It's not real smoky. It's got a tiny bit of that, but it's got a nice oaky cask finish. Let's see. It says matured in European oak and American oak casks. So it's got a nice oakiness to it. It's not smoky and not peaty. And not too sweet, like the stuff that's, finished in the sherry casks and the port casks and that other stuff.
I see that. As I'm scrolling back to find the name of that Glendrunna or whatever it was that I sent you, I realize, God, we send a lot of alcohol pictures back and forth.
Feed the fifth.
I found a nice 2022 Jägermeister.
That pairs really well with Slim Jims.
I know, and I only have one, and it's one of those little stumpy ones. A little, I don't know, child portion Slim Jim. Not a man-sized, big old hefty swinging sausage.
Speaking of sausage, I just came across a recipe for a maple bacon old-fashioned in my feed, and it looks lovely. I may have had something like this in the past, but it's the picture is worth 1,000 words.
Found it. Glendronach. Dronach. Would that be Dronach? Dronach? Anyhow, that's the one.
I know that guy. He lives over by 15 Mile.
I don't know how you tell a blend from a... This says 12-year matured in the finest Pedro's something sherry casks from Spain. Highland single malt scotch whiskey.
If it says single malt, it's single malt. And that's a Highland, too. Interesting. Okay. I'm gonna look that up. I just don't remember.
I'll resend you the picture because there can never be enough alcohol porn.
Porn. Yeah, that's pretty-looking bottle, pretty-looking stuff. I should add that to the library here and try it out sometime. K8BB.
N8 Neanderthal, man.
Oh, they use pot stoves.
Okay, warning. Okay, I'm going to send this. You can look away, but if you don't blame me if you look at it, and now you have nightmares.
Well, at least it's not a frosty glass.
Or a naked picture of Erlene.
For a juice glass, that actually has a favorable shape, so you're doing okay on that. It's not a solo cup.
Yes, I did try to find something with a little bit of a bowl going on and capture a little bit of the, who am I fooling? But I did pick that one for that reason.
I've had that Oberon. That's good stuff. I like it. Of course, I like anything.
It's a Mondavi, and it's a Napa. I was in a pinch. Don had posted a picture of him getting jiggy with some sort of red about a week or so ago. And it looked damn good, so I was desperate, and I ran up to the corner where I get my liquor, and he's not a wine store. But I remember having this before and not hating it. And it was $30. I figured that should be pretty good. And I come to find out that he marks everything up pretty bad in the wine department, probably in the beer department as well. He's state minimum on liquor, but not on the beer and the wine, obviously. Yeah, it's a $20 buck. $21 at Total Wine. So, yeah, he's marking it up a tad. But you know what? It's not bad, and it's $20, and it's a Napa cab. Who the hell can complain about that?
Right.
I just need a clutch.
I wonder, do they still make Thunderbirds?
I do not know, but if they do, I'm probably not going to be trying it soon. By the way, this is all just total tomfoolery. Anyone wants to jump in and even change the subject, feel free.
Just wondering what these total wine places you keep talking about are. What's a total wine?
Not me, because my opinion is not of the norm.
Come on. You've got to appreciate you can go up there and get about the best price on some pretty good wines. What could you not like? It's like a supermarket of spirits. They've got pretty good beer selection, a pretty good wine selection. It's a huge place, warehouse size. It's all beer, wine, and spirits. And they got a pretty damn good selection. I'll have to see why Don, who is definitely more well versed in the art of the drink than I, as to what objections he has. But for a neophyte like me, I just discovered it, honestly, so I haven't been going there long enough, but I find I very much like the selection, and the prices seem to be as good as it gets. So, if you're ever down this way, I don't know if there are any up your way, but down here in Metro Detroit, there's at least several. There's one in Sterling Heights near where the old Lakeside Mall is. If you have any idea where that is, then there's one in Rochester, which is the one I was at on Saturday, and I'm sure there's a few others, but I'll let you comment on that before I go to Don to defend his, or state his position on Total Wine, which I'm very curious.
I will discuss it over lunch on Friday.
I think she
I think there was another station out there as well. Well, jump in.
Oh, there was a double there. So I think it was the gentleman in, where were you at? I forget where you were at. Asking what's the total line.
No, that wasn't me on the double, but that was me who you were talking about just now. But, yeah, my name's Ken. I'm in Bertrand, KF8AYL. I just never heard of these total lines. You talk about them like they're, like it's a chain or something down there. But good enough. That was the explanation I was looking for.
Okay, yeah, a warehouse of spirits. Anyhow, was there another double in there with Don?
I was probably the double. I said you guys are very entertaining. I've been listening to you guys for about 45 minutes.
Well, jump on in. We want to hear what you have to say.
I'm not real big on wine, but I did just go to a cheese and wine pairing at the Cheese Lady in Fenton. That was really good, and I would highly recommend if you have a cheese lady near you to see if they have an event like that.
Yes, I endorse the Cheese Lady. They do a nice job. They've got a good selection. They have knowledgeable people. That's a good experience.
The Cheese Lady? Is this something that sets up at a selected venues, or is this a place in and of itself?
Believe it or not, it's actually kind of a chain. Independently owned, specifically cheesemonger shops. I know there's one in Traverse City, there's one in Farmington Hills, right in the downtown Farmington thing. I think there's one in Rochester Hills, by the collection or the community or whatever they call that thing in Adams and Walton. And there are others around too, obviously in Fenton. They are knowledgeable cheesemongers.
Oh man, I'm at their website now. Look at this. How do I not know about this? Fenton, Grand Rapids, Kalamazoo, Muskegon, going to be there next week. Rochester, there pretty much any time. St. Joseph and Traverse City. So, well, hot dog. New achievement to achieve.
Cheese dog.
Do you see all the learning going on here? That's what ham radio is all about, learning.
John's getting all soft.
Your cheese is getting soft?
That's no Gouda.
Pretty soon he's going to be preaching a kinder, gentler ham radio.
Always.
Now, earlier today, I was walking around the house, and I noticed I'd left the toilet seat up, so I closed it so I didn't get yelled at. And then I thought, God, she's got me trained, so I peed in the curtains.
She can yell at you about the toilet seat from Florida. She is doing all right.
It's a Pavlovian response.
By the way, always use a potted plant. The curtains are way too obvious.
Yeah, it is more of a scent marking thing now that I think of it.
But it's already your house.
So Wednesday, March 12th, from 5 to 7, they're having a wine and cheese tasting with Sarah Fassant, owner, Coot Roses Winery. Minervois, South France. RSVP only. Oh.
At the Total Wine? They're having it at the Total Wine?
Oh, no, this is at the new one that was just mentioned, the Cheese Lady. The Cheese Lady of Rochester.
I recommend their event.
Not to be confused with the Cheese Lady of Trenton, who has an unfortunate medical problem.
There was less than 20 people at this one that I went to. It was a great time. We got to speak with the owners. They passed on quite a bit of different knowledge about the happenings of the Cheese Lady at their location and other locations, and cheese information more than one could possibly think exists, and it was a good time.
Did you go for a, I noticed they have a beer and cheese tasting. They're having that on March 5th. From 7 to 8:30, Wednesday, March 5th. Looks like these are mostly on Wednesday. It's a beer and cheese tasting, and that one you pay for. And then the 12th is free with the RSVP only with the Sarah Frissant, owner of Coup Roses Winery in Minervois from France. Bottle signing and free wine and cheese tasting. So that one sounds fancy schmancy, but it's free, but RSVP only. And then the next, the 14th, that's a $55 virtual cheese and wine tasting. Virtual? Virtual? How do you do a tasting virtually?
Actually, usually because that was more expensive, what they do is they send you the stuff in the mail. So you've got the cheese or the wine or the whatever. And so then you have it at your house, and everyone has it at their house, and you all Zoom together, and you have the virtual wine tasting or cheese tasting. They're not bad. It's a convenient way of doing it without having to travel to, say, Traverse City or the Loire Valley.
I know the event I had gone to, it was actually marketed under, like, Galentine's. It was on a Saturday. It was specifically a cheese and wine pairing with, like, hors d'oeuvres. And I would recommend probably doing it in person, just because we ended up meeting ladies in the foyer waiting to be let in, and we were with them the whole night, and it was a great time.
Yes, what she said. Definitely do the in-person, if you can.
Well, I think I'm going to put that on my list of things to do now that I know this exists. I mean, I know these things exist all over. Hell, they even have them at the fancy Kroger nowadays. What are they called? Kroger Marketplace. So they're having them all over. But in particular, I'm going to seek out something maybe at this Cheese Lady, which I didn't know existed. I've got a... So I appreciate the tip. I just discovered Total Wine. I haven't hardly digested that one fully, and I've only been there twice. Now I've got somewhere new to explore. Oy, oy, oy. This is W8FU. By the way, name here is Sean.
This is KFACWB, Aubrey. If you are looking into different things like that, I know down in Royal Oak, they do a whiskey, I think it was called Whiskey Brews and something else. But they do one every year at the farmer's market, which is inside, so that was nice. But I think they do a wine one as well.
Where did all this darn culture come from?
I know if I need another chip of ice for my Glenlivet. Aubrey, so glad you jumped in, and thank you for sharing. What was the call sign again? I wasn't paying attention, and I missed that. So sorry.
My call sign is KSHCWD.
Okie-dokie. This is K8BB. Name is Don. I'm in Pontiac. You sound like you're mobile. I'm curious where you are. Most of us are around Detroit area.
So when I first started listening in on you guys, I was at a base station of my friends in Holly. But I am mobile currently. I am driving for Detroit.
Sean, or Sean, Steve, are you still sitting in your driveway in your car?
Oh, God, no, I'm sitting in my living room under a blanket.
Just checking. Look what these become. Sean, how is your 2021 Napa cab, cold, 3-day-old, juice class experience going?
Wonderful. I paired it with some American slices.
Quite right. Quite right.
And some peanuts. So, there you go. Ah, you know, it is what it is. I'm glad I'm finishing it. Is this about all I can really say here?
Better than pouring it down the drain. Which I did do a bottle of Merlot once after opening it. Ugh. But that's a different story. Also probably for lunch. Thanks for jumping in, Audrey, and nice to meet, and don't be a stranger. K8BB.
Yep, probably good timing. You sound a little broken there, so probably just about the right timing. And again, and as Don says, thanks for stopping in. W8FU.
So, Stephen, is there anything in your glass?
Actually, I'm standing here looking down at the rack of wines right now, and I'm trying to make a decision.
Do keep us posted. In related news, there's a ham whose call sign is W8TMI. Which I found kind of funny.
TMI.
That's what I mean.
God, nothing's talking to me. I'm not feeling any of this. I think this is stuff that people have brought us that is, what do you call it, re-gifts.
All right, we won't tell.
Okay, well, you know what, everybody, we gotta think about where, and we gotta get a time and a place solidified for Friday, so that so nothing we have to do right now, but over the course of the next day or so, that way get the word. Oh. I have to put something in the group text to get Mark on board in case he can make it. I don't know, though. You know, it depends on if he's working. I think that's about when he goes in. I think he has to do earlier things. But, and it would be easier for me to do a lunch thing, I think, than it would be. Well, it doesn't really matter for me. So we'll figure it out.
I am completely flexible, as far as I know.
You retired, guys. I may try to move my Friday morning standing appointment up to Thursday, and if that's the case, that'll make me more flexible on Friday, too. Whatever works. Well, also, Sean, I still have that keyer for Captain Don. I should message him. We talked about doing a handoff to you. You might see him before I did, but then I was laid up at home for a few days and nothing happened.
I can make his folks' place a stop on the way in or on the way home from work pretty easy. It's just a slightly different course. Takes me right by there. So, I can easily just got to figure out when he's going to be down by his folks and get it dropped off. So, I'm sure I would be able to get that knocked out. Although, like I said, if I don't get it knocked out this week, then it'll be another week, probably, before I have an opportunity. So, there is that.
I was just putting it out. I've been driving around with it in my car. Well, at least today. I haven't driven anywhere in 3 days. But it's been there, and it's cryogenically treated now, so it should go faster.
Okay, I made a decision.
Bones Farm Apple?
Nah, I went for the liquor. The Tullamore Dew brown label stuff. Good.
Always a solid choice.
It tastes extra good out of this tryout glass.
They do add a certain something. I'm going to step away for a bit. Not necessarily calling it, but I got some stuff I've got to tend to. Before bedtime, WAFU.
Fine business. And I'm watching hockey.
I'm actually going to wander downstairs to the ham shack and see what's on the air. So I'll turn the radio on down there. KABB.
Are there any darts professionals left on the air?
KABB.